Cloud Nation.
You're invited to take your seat.
Take a seat.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
It's a three. In and out. Rebound. Peyton. Out to Curry. Let's it fly. Three ball. Left corner bucket.
Welcome to the table. The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game.
Curry fires away. Three ball. Above the break.
Here's Kevin Dana.
Right there.
And Gary St. Jean.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? Happy 408 day to all those who observe who are from the South Bay, like myself, my fellow San Joselians. I say happy 408 day to you, and happy National Championship Day for men's college basketball, UConn and Purdue. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean rocking with you from now till 7 p.m. If you want to talk some Warriors shooty hoop or even get some Final Four takes in from the men's or women's tournaments, 888-957-9570. And Gary, who you got tonight, UConn or Purdue, and who are you rooting for?
Well, I grew up less than an hour from Storrs, Connecticut, and I've had a lot of friends that have coached there, so I'm pulling for the UConn Huskies.
All right, and be the first team to win back-to-back natties since Al Horford and Joakim Noah did it with the Florida Gators back in 2006-2007, so 17 years since that happened. We're reminding you that the 2024 Warriors 23-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente, and the Warriors yesterday clinched a play-in spot before they even took the court when Houston coughed up a big lead late to the Dallas Mavericks, losing that game in overtime, but the Warriors then did what they needed to do, removing all doubt with their win over the Utah Jazz. I mean, really, basically all doubt was removed Thursday night in the win at Houston. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Saint, they clinched a play-in spot. They're going to be playing at least an 83rd game of consequence this year. What's that feeling like in the locker room, even when you know you're almost certainly going to be there, but to actually clinch?
Well, it depends upon the makeup of your team. Now, you got a bunch of guys who have won four championships, so the expectation was to get there. Now, the young guys might be really excited, but the vet guys, hey, this is what was expected of us. So in my day, years back in Milwaukee or then with Golden State, it was business. Now, you know, we're expected to be here. But when I was up in Sacramento, it was the first time that the Kings ever made the playoffs. And we went on to play against Seattle with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and all of those guys. But I'll tell you a quick story. We clinch and we're flying back from Utah. And we land and the pilot says, "Hey guys, get ready." He said, "There's at least 300 people at the airport at 1 in the morning." And they gave us a greeting that was unbelievable. And, you know, the Kings fans are pretty darn famous. You know, we played the game one. The entire warm-up session, 20 minutes, right? Standing ovation, the whole thing. I'm in the coach's room, and I'm saying, "What the heck is that?" And we all went out in the hallway, and it was amazing. It really was. So I've got a lot of great memories of playoff action. I was blessed to be on the bench, I think, for 88 of them. And boy, oh boy, you don't forget many of those.
No, that's a lot of playoff games, Sane. And hopefully for Golden State, they got a lot of playoff games upcoming, though it is going to be a tough road for them to navigate. But they did what they needed to do against a grossly outmanned team in Utah last night. I mean, Utah basically punted on its season at the trade deadline when they essentially said, "We want a better draft pick. Finishing ninth or tenth isn't going to do a whole lot for us as an organization." And they played a ton of guys who suited up Tuesday in Santa Cruz in the G League playoff game for the Salt Lake City Stars. I mean, Johnny Juzang had 27 points last night, 7 of 8 from deep. But, you know, the first couple of minutes of this game, kind of hairy. Golden State got down 10-6, 3 minutes in. And I thought it was a good timeout from Steve Kerr because immediately I was thinking of the home game against San Antonio when the Victor Wembanyama-less and Devin Vassell-less San Antonio Spurs came in and handed it to Golden State a month ago. So I thought that was an important timeout for Steve Kerr to take.
Well, I'm looking at Steve Kerr's background. Now, Phil Jackson would have let those guys play through it. You figured this out.
Yeah.
You got yourself into playing like this, you guys figured it out. But then he also played for a guy named Greg Popovich. And that guy has been known to call a timeout with not even a minute gone on the clock.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a veteran coach timeout. I think it was perfect. He sounded the alarm and told the guys, hey, wake up. This is an NBA team. They're capable of playing at a high level. We got to take care of our own business. So kudos to Steve Kerr. I love the timeout.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of the coaches that are on opposite ends of the timeout spectrum, right? I mean, I remember there was a game where Pop took a timeout after the first possession of the game. They gave up like a layup or something. They were down 2-0, and that was too much for Popovich to take, and he stopped the action right there. And as you mentioned, Phil Jackson, the anti-timeout guru, if you will. But, you know, I thought Brandon Pajemski's energy was necessary for that team to kind of not completely fall asleep. And, you know, by the end of the first quarter, it was 41-28, and they were well on their way. But we got a chance to see Klay Thompson really erupt in this game, 25 in the first half, finished with 32. And he just keeps on stacking good game after good game. And after, you know, a rough stretch to start the season, he's really stabilized himself. And I'd say the last couple of months, he's been consistently pretty good. You know, you have your outlier game where he goes 3 of 13 or something like that. But, I mean, he just continues to stack up these really solid performances.
Well, he looked to me like old-time Clay. I mean, he was in a beautiful groove. First couple shots went in, and I said, oh, boy, we're going to see something good. Then he worked off some screens, and then he went down in the box and got out in transition, made some nice passes, and I'm just thrilled for him. You know, he's gone through a lot, you know, the mental side. You know, the physical we know, but mentally dealing with everything, and he's done just a fantastic job. He's ready, and he's going to be a key piece as they journey into these play-in games. In that playoff experience, I think is huge. And, you know, he's playing some really terrific basketball.
He really is. I think he probably could have gone for 40 if, A, the opponent was better and they kind of, it was a more of a crunch timey fourth quarter than what they found themselves in, but still 32 points, really good for him. It was also the return of Jonathan Kuminga, who had missed the last six games with bilateral knee tendonitis. This is what Steve Kerr had to say about how he looked, scoring 21 points with 10 rebounds and 4 assists, why he decided to bring him off the bench and then saying, I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the other side of this Kerr soundbite right now.
Yeah, JK did a great job tonight. He looked bouncy and strong, and I watched him work out yesterday. He got a great workout in. The decision to start Brandon was based on combinations with Steph out. And we want to keep starting Draymond and Trace for defensive reasons, and felt like a better combination if we started Brandon and brought Jonathan off the bench.
Well, I don't know that you could ask for a much better performance coming back from the knee tendonitis. And, Kev, the thing that most impressed me was his shot selection. You know, I thought he had a couple opportunities to shoot early threes. You know, he made a beautiful early offense drive going to his left, and he had a little momentum going, and I'm saying, boy, he might start feeling really good about himself and launching him, but he made the extra pass. He had a good shot, but he passed it to a teammate who had a great shot. And I love that. I just thought it was tremendous. I thought he got on the glass. He made a good effort there, and I just liked his overall game. Now, where are we going to go here with the starting lineup? You know, Steve has a way of communicating with his guys, and when you look at this, you know, Wiggins will be coming back, but Davis starting allows Draymond more freedom on the defensive end. And I don't know if they'll stay with that or maybe they're just going to work Davis into the rotation with the matchups, whoever they're going to play. For example, in the first round, if they would play, say, let's say they play the Lakers. Well, I would think they'd go with Davis. With Davis. And Davis on Davis. And, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens here. But I'm still of the mindset they can still climb up another spot. We're going to chat about that, I'm sure. But this is a good problem for Steve because Davis is playing so darn well and Kuminga's really established himself with a heck of a year. So you just like the way the guys are playing.
Dub Nation, want a chance to win the Ultimate Warriors game night? Visit warriors.com/Modelo and enter now. Must be 21 and over to enter. No purchase necessary. We're going to take a break when we come back. Taking your calls, 888-957-9570. Wrapping up the win over Utah, taking a look back to the Texas road trip and a look at the Western Conference standings right here on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean are holding court.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
At the Warriors Roundtable.
You can't handle the truth!
Curry, screened by Draymond. Curry gets free for three.
Got it! On 95.7 The Game. Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Janet Jackson is coming to Chase Center. Don't miss her 2024 Together Again tour on June 12th with special guest Nelly. Tickets available now at ChaseCenter.com. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean rocking with you here on a championship Monday evening. Reminding you that the Warriors 2023-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente and reminding you to hit us up. If you want to talk Warriors basketball, 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. Wrapping up the win over the Utah Jazz last night, 118-110. Another question I wanted to ask you with respect to Jonathan Kuminga, Saint. He was questionable all road trip. There was a thought that he was going to play Thursday in Houston. That's essentially what Steve Kerr said Tuesday before the Dallas game. He didn't play Thursday. He thought, all right, Steve Kerr said hopeful he would play Friday in Dallas. Didn't happen against Dallas either. Made his return Sunday. To me, this felt like the perfect opponent for him to return against. One where you figure you should be able to win on paper. I mean, I'm not going to say you're easing back into it because they're still an NBA team, but what is the importance of playing a team that, let's just say, is not fighting for a whole lot as your first game back from a little bit of an injury stretch?
Well, today's world, you really listen to the doctors and the trainers, and he may have just needed this amount of time to get himself pain-free. And obviously, they had a conversation after the game to see how he felt. Yeah, you do look at the schedule and you try to figure out when would be a good time if, in fact, he's ready to go to bring him back. But I don't think that's at the top of the decision making as to when and where to play. But it worked out really nice for the Warriors. He really got his mojo going again and played really, really well. And, you know, he's going to be a big piece as well as Clay's playing now. You know, he's that third yep. scorer. And you need that when you get into these big playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, judging by Kuminga's reaction or response post-game, how he had been feeling, it didn't sound like he circled Sunday, like on Thursday, saying, oh, I'm going to give this a couple extra games. Let me wait until I play a Jazz team that has now lost 12 straight games. It didn't sound like that. I was just curious to kind of get the GM coach perspective that you provided right there. What it was, though, was a perfect time to give Steph a night off on Sunday and give Wiggins an extra day after, you know, tweaking that ankle against Houston. Look, Steph, the numbers with him coming back off extended rest have been really good throughout this season, and you didn't need Steph to beat Utah. That I think that was the perfect day to give him a game off.
Absolutely perfect, yes. And he needed it. He's played probably more games than he has in the last 6 years or so. And, you know, he's the focus of every opponent, and he's having to deal with defenses trying to really work on him, double team him, and with pick and roll action and really trying to work him defensively, getting involved in pick and rolls to try to tire him out, get somebody that really moves well without the ball. And you know, he's answered the bell, and hey, we're not kidding anybody, this is a huge game tomorrow night. I'm still of the mindset that I'd rather play the Lakers here than down there. Although, The scheduling, I look at this thing and the records home and away just baffle me. It's beyond my belief, but yeah. I still would sure like to see it. And getting Wiggins another day, I think, is important. The good news there, with Kuminga playing so well last night, Wiggins, before the injury, is really playing well. It's the closest I've seen him to look like he did a couple years ago during the championship. We all know that he's a heck of a defender. You can put him on anybody's perimeter guy. And then offensively, he's attacking the basket. I really like the way he's playing there. And Kev, they run we call it a pick-the-picker, screen-to-screener action, where the ball's on the left side, free throw line extended, and a small comes and screens across for him on the right box. And they bring him across in there. Well, and the option then is to screen down on the guy who screened from the top. The emphasis on the play is to try to get it into him on the left box. And most right-handers like the left box because they want to get middle to their left shoulder. And that's where he's very, very good. He's patient. He reads the defender. And I really like that about his game. So having him elevating his game is going to be very big for the team.
Yeah, no, it really is. And with respect to the point you were making about Stephen Curry, 71 games played this year. The most games he has played since the 2016-17 season when he played in 78. So, he has played the most games he has played in seven seasons, and he could potentially get up to 75 games if they play him the rest of the regular season. So a good time for Steph to get a night off. Let's take a look at this Texas road trip, 1-1. It finished with a loss in Dallas. And I'm curious, before we kind of get into other thoughts on the game, I was curious to hear your perspective on the closing sequence, the Washington go-ahead layup and Golden State's a bit of a rush shot at the buzzer there after Steph Curry hit the left baseline too to tie this up at 106.
Well, we're going to get into these play-ins and the playoffs, and you know your execution the last couple minutes of the game is just huge. And, you know, they got a break in Washington, got out there in transition and laid it in. And there wasn't even much chance to really contest or foul them. And you didn't get the shot maybe you wanted at the buzzer coming down the other way. But those things happen. And that, you know what? I love the effort of the team. A good win against Houston in a big game. So now you're in a back-to-back. Dallas wasn't. And, you know, you're asking your guys to really, you're undermanned and trying to ask them to rise to the occasion and get one. Well, in the meantime, I think Dallas has won 9 out of 10. They stole one last night, the other night against Houston.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that was ridiculous. Just crazy. There's crazy games going on all over the place. But you know what? As a coach, you just feel good about your team on that trip. You like the way they competed. And it just bodes well here as we go down the stretch with these games.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I thought this was a game that said a lot about Golden State and how they fought without Wiggins and Kuminga. And look, I understand Dallas did not have Luka Doncic in this game. They kept him in bubble wrap for that one. But they could have packed it up. I mean, they were down 10. I mean, they got down 16 right off the bat in the first quarter. It's 29-13, you're wondering, okay, what kind of get back is this team going to have tonight? And then, you know, they take the 2-point halftime lead. Dallas plays really well in the third quarter. They bump it up to 10 midway through the fourth quarter, and it just felt like that 10-point lead felt different than a normal 10-point lead in today's NBA game, just with the way the game was kind of going. But I thought it did say a lot about Golden State that they were able to work their way back into a tie in that game without Wiggins, without Kuminga, and Steph, you know, riding hot there at the end, hitting a couple of clutch shots for Golden State.
Yeah, and you know, you're competing for a win, and you're looking at Steph and Clay, and they're not dominant, but they made some big shots. But at the end of the day, you know, Kyrie Irving, great player, and Dallas, You can evaluate everybody's trades at the trade deadline. Getting Gafford in Washington has totally changed the complexion of this team. And, of course, drafting Lively, who's been out. That gives them a lot of length to go with the probably, you can argue, the best backcourt in the league right now. And they're going to be a tough team to handle here in the playoffs. So you're coming home and you play Utah, and then you're going down there for tomorrow night, and it's going to be a big game, and there's, you know, some winnable games here in the last five to get to the finish line.
Yeah, there really are some winnable games here for Golden State. We will break that down in just a little bit. I did want to talk about the win over Houston, though, because I thought Ime Udoka had some really interesting comments after the game. We're going to hear it, and then Sane, want to get your thoughts on what he said. This is what Ime Udoka had to say after the Rockets' 133-110 loss to Golden State on the moment being too big for the Rockets.
It looked like the moment was too big for a lot of players out there. So it looked like deer in headlights a little bit. Either look soft or scared, one or the other, and that's two bad things for a lot of our guys to have, and didn't rise up to the moment like I thought we would.
Well, you know, the more I watch this young coach, he's got a lot of pop in him, if you know what I mean. Played down there, coached down there. He's very frank, very honest. Nowadays, you don't see a lot of players sending a message through the media to their team. But he chose to do that. And, you know, and I watched them play against Dallas. It was a Sunday. And I loved the way they played. Oh, my gosh, they were physical. They absolutely blew the game at the end. But the two guys, Van Fleet and Brooks, well, I'm not a huge Brooks guy, but he's tough. And those two guys are setting the tone for that team. And they're trying to teach young guys like Green the importance of each possession and the importance about playing defense, about playing the right way. And he's got, you know, young players. Sengun is out, but you know, you also have Thompson and Whitmore and all these guys. And he's sending a message to those guys that hey, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to play a certain way. And I'm one that thinks their future is kind of bright. I just like what they did this year. They've made a lot of progress. That winning streak was tremendous. And they're going to feel good about their season. But that was eye-awakening for that team.
Yeah, it really was. And he kind of took the words out of my mouth, because that was the thing I was thinking about going into that game. I just felt like a dominant Golden State performance was coming, that like they knew the stakes, they had lived through the stakes, and obviously Fred VanVleet has been in high-pressure playoff games winning a title with Toronto. But outside of him and Dylan Brooks's playoff experience, you got a bunch of young dudes there. And I mean, obviously Jeff Green too, but he hasn't been the focal point of a championship team. He was a role player for the Denver Nuggets last year. But when a lot of your top talent is young guys, they got to go through those growing pains. And to me, it looked like a battle of a team who has been there versus a team who hasn't been there.
Yeah, you're spot on. I totally agree with you. And that happens in this league. When you get down to this time in the season, you know, there's more focus. There's more physicality. You know, we've seen a dramatic change in the officiating, which allows you to handle your business on defense and not bailing the offense out. And I personally think it's really helped the Warriors, for example. And, you know, I just thought that, you know, Draymond, you know, playing really terrific. You had Clay and Steph playing at a high level. And, gosh, you just got to love the way Davis is playing. Gosh, he's doing a great job every night now. And, you know, he's just kind of, what am I going to say, Kev, stone-faced? He doesn't show a lot of jubilation or despair. But yet the guy just produces. And you know how you create a chemistry with a guy. The thing with he and Clay is beautiful. If anything, I think it's made Clay pass more than he ever has in his career. It's terrific. And when you have that pick and roll option with verticality, that means that he rolls and you can throw the lob to him. The defense has to contract. And nobody in a pick and roll throws a better lob pass than Chris Paul. So he's been a shining light here for the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bob Fitzgerald said it last night on the telecast. This is probably their best lob threat since JaVale McGee. And, I mean, obviously with maybe not the size of a JaVale McGee, but I think the potential to become even more of an impact player than JaVale.
Oh, I totally agree with you. You know, JaVale had a heck of a nice long career on some really, really good teams, and to be even talked about with him is great praise. So this guy, boy, he's had one heck of a year. Him and Podzinski, if I'm Mike Dunleavy, I'm just saying to myself, holy moly, you know, we hit the lottery here with these two guys. And you know, there were a lot of questions about these two guys in the draft, and they both have performed terrific, and it means that the two of those guys have earned the respects of the vets in the locker room. They're not, you know, vociferous. They're out there doing their job. It looks to me like they're good listeners. And that's a really great quality in a young player. And the coaches have trust and faith in those guys. And they're willing to put them in big situations. And they've risen to the occasion.
Yeah, that they have. They have been a lot of fun to watch all year, those two rookies in Brandon Podziemski and Trace Jackson Davis. Hopefully some all-rookie accolades for those two at the conclusion of the regular season. Let's take a look at the Western Conference standings, looking from six on down, because with the loss to Dallas, Golden State cannot catch the Dallas Mavericks, but they can theoretically, quote-unquote, get up to sixth if things break all the way, right? But really, they're looking to get to eighth. So Phoenix is 46-32. They have the tiebreaker right now over the New Orleans Pelicans, who are also 46-32. The Pelicans in seventh. The Sacramento Kings in eighth at 45-33. And the LA Lakers in ninth at 49-34. And though they are a game and a half back of the Lakers, Golden State has the tiebreaker with the Lakers right now, and they can clinch the tiebreaker. They get the tiebreaker if they win tomorrow. They lose the tiebreaker if they lose to the Lakers tomorrow. So this is a massive, massive game that the Warriors and Lakers are about to play. If you win that game, then it gets pretty easy, I mean, relatively speaking. I mean, you go up to Portland. Right now the Blazers are 21-57 and just about clinching 14th in the West. And then they got the Pelicans, who don't have Brandon Ingram. They got them coming at home. And then they finish with the Utah Jazz again. So there is a chance for the Warriors to make up some ground here.
But I think if they win tomorrow night, Mr. Momentum is going to carry them to the finish line. You've got those two games that you're supposed to take care of. I watched the Pelicans beat Phoenix yesterday, and it was the best game I've ever seen Williamson play. And McCallum's playing great, and as you said, they're trying to get Ingram back. They have a very, very, very tough schedule. They've got three road games against playoff teams. And, you know, like tomorrow night, there's some big games. The Suns play the Clippers at home. The Lakers are down there. And Sacramento is at the Thunder. And I don't know if Gilgeous-Alexander is going to play, but that's a tough place to win. So there's going to be a lot of movement here in the next week. But you just got to, you know what? I love looking at all this, but as players and coaches, you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone and keep going here and get this win tomorrow. You know, I kind of think it's ironic that Steph got a little rest, and then LeBron was sick, so he didn't play. And then Davis got hurt in the first period, got whacked in the face again. So the three main players in the game are all going to be fresh. It's going to be a heck of a game.
I mean, technically, LeBron and AD are questionable, but I don't think there's any doubt that they're playing. I don't think that's fooling anybody. I'm not saying that the Lakers are playing mind games, but look, they know what's at stake. Unless something catastrophic happens, those guys are playing.
Yeah, there's not much debate there. And you know what? To give them credit, They've been better. Hashimura's played very well. I'm not a big Russell guy, but I am going to give him credit. He's been that third scorer and played well. You know, Reeves hasn't scored as much, but I still like him in the backcourt as a facilitator. And, you know, they sure would like to get Vincent going. And, you know, they've been depleted because a couple of their guys have been injured. But they've finished well. And if they wind up playing, like I said last week, Kev, if they ever wind up playing each other for 9 and 10, let's say they don't move up. And right now I think the Lakers are tied with the Kings. That might get as high a rating as the game with South Carolina and Iowa, the girls' game yesterday.
Yeah, that was a fun national championship game. Congrats to the Gamecocks for a 38-0 season, and now Dawn Staley with her third national championship as a head coach of the Gamecocks. But so, look, the Kings and Pelicans both have very tough schedules, and you got to take care of the Lakers first. If you lose tomorrow, the Warriors are not going to move out of 10th, almost certainly. But if they win tomorrow, Sacramento, you mentioned it, Saint. They're at Oklahoma City. They have the Pelicans. They have Phoenix. They have Portland. Not an easy schedule. I mean, Portland's close to a gimme, but those other ones are not easy. And then the Pelicans, they're at Portland. They're at Sacramento. They're at Golden State. And they host the Lakers. So there are losable games on that schedule there. And if you defeat the Lakers tomorrow, you're looking at that Sacramento-New Orleans game, and then you're rooting big time for whoever loses that game to lose out.
Yeah, that's really right on. Let's keep in mind, you know, you've got Monk out and you've got Herder out. So that's two of your top six guys. And both of those guys, Monk's had a heck of a year. And Herder's a good team player. So they're missing those guys. You know, they're playing Ellis a lot now, and Mitchell's playing, and Lyles is playing well, but they're not quite the same. They're not at the offensive firepower. It really puts a lot of heat on Sabonis and Fox. They've, you know, you got to get a triple double out of Sabonis, and I think Fox has to go for 30 plus every single game for them to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where they're at right now, and sometimes he's certainly able to deliver. And look, if you can avoid playing the 9-10 at crypto.com, we've talked about it before, I think that would be a huge thing for Golden State. So you mentioned it, Gary, as players and coaches, you can't worry about doing too much standings watching. You just got to take care of business. But as broadcasters, we can do all the standings watching that we want, and that's what we will do for the final week of the regulars.
Well, Nelly, the Warriors back in the day,
yeah,
go ahead, Kev. I was going to share one with you.
No.
Nelly,
do,
in the
please
old days,
do.
We didn't have iPads, and we didn't have cell phones. So Nelly would have us put, like, the last 10, 15 games of the teams that we were going to be in contention with. Like, five teams, he'd put them up there. And then we'd all sit in the office and say, okay, that's a win. That's a win. Oh, they're going to struggle there. And we tried to figure out everybody's record and where we were going to play, who we were going to play, and, you know, all that. It was a blast. It was really, really fun. And, you know, we'd be yelling at each other, no way, you know, and all that kind of thing. It was just a lot of fun with the pen up there.
Oh, yeah, no, I love doing standings watching, projecting what other teams are going to do around you. Well, the Warriors Community Foundation auction presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort is open. Bid on game-worn jerseys, signed items, and exclusive experiences. Visit warriors.com/auction to bid. More Warriors Roundtable coming up on the other side. We are sponsored by Prize Picks on 95.7 The Game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat.
Everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable has returned on 95.7 The Game.
Knocked it down straight out for about 28 feet.
Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up? Let's take a look at some upcoming broadcasts presented by Ticketmaster. The Dubs are in La La Land tomorrow, taking on the Lakers, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. I got the call for you on 95.7 The Game. Then I'll be with the squad in Portland to take on the Blazers, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time, Thursday, April 11th. And it's a back end of a back-to-back. Tim Roy will be back with you and Tom Tolbert as the Warriors take on the Pelly Pels of New Orleans on Friday, April 12th, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. That is Autism Acceptance Night, presented by NBC Sports. And the final game of the regular season going down at Chase Sunday, April 14th, 12:30 tip time, 12 p.m. on the air with Tim and Tom. The regular season finale is presented by Chase Freedom. So let's start with the first game up, the L.A. Lakers. And you were touching on it a little bit earlier, Saint, but the Lakers have been playing well. Despite the recent loss to Minnesota, in which they lost Anthony Davis after the first quarter, lost that game. I mean, they were up by four after one. They got pounded in the second quarter, lost that second quarter like 46-29 and never fully recovered. So they still have won 9 of their last 11, and they are 45-34 with 3 games to go. So this is a pretty good stretch for the Lakers right now. They are not catching the Lakers in a cold spot.
No, you know, and just reading the comments of the players, they're feeling really good about themselves right now. They've found their, you know, their cohesion. They really feel like their roles are well defined, and they're understanding what they need to do. There's no kidding anybody. If Davis is playing at his optimum level, and he's played a lot of games this year, and he's played very well, when he's really on top of it, he makes them an entirely different team. There's some nights that he's kind of sleepwalking. So if he's ready to go, it's a big key. I expect LeBron to. You know, he. It's crazy, Kev, how he's been shooting the three ball. In years past, you said, well, I'm going to let him beat me over the top. Let him shoot the three ball, but take away his right-hand drive. And you got to watch him in transition, because I've never thought that he's gotten enough credit as a passer. I think he really can. He's been a great, great scorer, obviously the best ever. But he sees the floor beautifully. And, you know, if they're playing really well, if he doesn't have to have a huge scoring game, then he just gets every, because you've got to put so much emphasis on him. And I talked about Russell and Reeves and Hashimura, and, you know, it may be a game where you're going to count on not maybe Steph or your top guys to get it done. Who else is going to step up tomorrow? And who else is going to step up for the Lakers? It'll be an interesting tilt.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal always talks about the others in being deciding factors, and the others always tend to perform better at home than they do on the road, generally speaking. So we'll see if Rui can have another big game. Rui played very well last night. Jackson Hayes had a double-double in place of Anthony Davis, who got injured at the end of the first quarter. But speaking of Anthony Davis, Saint, the most games he has ever played in a regular season is 75. He did it back-to-back years with the Pelicans as part of All-Star seasons from 2016 to 2018. With 3 games left, Anthony Davis is at 74 games played, and he hasn't played more than 62 games ever in a Laker uniform. This is his fifth year with the Lakers. And look, he's just been healthier this year. That's been the thing with him. 2 years ago, he played half the season. The year before that, he played half the season. And finally, this year, he has played 74 games with the potential to play 77, and more often than not, I think we've seen less of alternating days Anthony Davis and more of the 9-time All-Star that he is and one of the 75 best players in NBA history.
Well, there's no debate. When he's really right, he's a tremendous player. You know, I listened to a lot of stories from my son Greg when he was on Frank Vogel's staff when they won the championship. And he thinks he's a terrific guy. He's a very smart player. And, you know, injuries have had a big impact on his career. But if you're playing with him, if he's on your team, you love having him there. And he'll be, again, I'm going to say it again, he's going to be a big piece to this game tomorrow night.
I have a couple of Anthony Davis stories I'll share. One is Elliot Williams, who was with the Santa Cruz Warriors, got called up and played on two 10-day contracts with the New Orleans Pelicans in the 2014-15 season. Hung out with Anthony Davis a lot. And look, I know Elliot Williams had been a former first-round pick, but I thought it was cool, A, that you're hearing how good of a guy Anthony Davis is from a guy like Elliot Williams, but that Anthony Davis would hang out with a guy who's on a 10-day contract. Yeah. And yes, he had been in the NBA before. Elliot Williams was certainly no slouch, heck of a player, injuries derailing his career. Love Elliot Williams, but I thought that said something about him. And the other thing is, I saw his last ever high school game. I went to grad school at Northwestern. Yes, I did, Saint. I went to grad school at Northwestern in the 2010-11 season, and he played at Perspectives Charter School. His teammates, with all due respect, to borrow a Mark Jackson line, I was better than some of them, and I got cut from my high school team. Like that's not a lie. I'm not making this up. Like, this team went like 6-20. He played with guys
really
who were nowhere near Division I players, and they were in like some city playoff game. My friend was doing a feature on Anthony Davis. He eventually sold it to Dime Magazine, but it just like the fact that Anthony Davis would play, he chose to stay with that team knowing that they weren't going to be winning a whole lot. I mean, that guy could have gone to any prep school in the country, but he wanted to stay with his friends at Perspectives Charter School.
Well, you know, you don't know. Players get labeled, and a lot of people, because he's missed a lot of games, he automatically gets labeled as soft. People, you know, say, oh, gosh, he's got a hangnail, he's not playing. Well, you don't know unless you're with somebody what it's all about. Now, if LeBron has kept the faith and keeps believing in him, that sends me a message because LeBron is tough, man. He's a tough critic, and you can lose him pretty darn quick. And he knows that he needs him, and they've basically told him, hey, you know, LeBron's on the 18th fairway. And we need you to use your driver here. I know we're talking about the Masters this week. We need you to be the man. And all the players on the team expect that too. And I respect him because he can block seven shots. He can get you 20 rebounds. He can get you 20 points. He's had some huge games, but then I've also seen him years ago when he was with the Pelicans playing against the Warriors in the playoffs where, you know, Draymond dominated him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the moment certainly was a little big for AD. I mean, that was in the thick of the Warriors. That was the 2018 second-round series, 2015 first-round series. Both championship seasons for Golden State. Well, we are running out of time here on 95.7 The Game. A big thank you to Marika Kleto and R.C. Davis, the Rick Rubin of NBA radio producers here for the Golden State Warriors, and for Mark Grandy running the show behind the glass. For Saint, I'm Kevin Dana saying thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
You've been listening to the Warriors Roundtable.
Curry brings it through, one hand, three, up and good!
The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors.
That playful and nailed it!
95.7 The Game.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.